Good morning, Greater Lake Downs. This is Lady Gray coming at you from 98.1 WMXN, and I'm here with my producer, Shanna. Shanna?
Hey there, Lady Gray. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Shanna. How are you?
It's a good day, Lady Gray.
Groovy. Today we are covering the Women's March. Well, really, women's marches that happened all over the country and the world this past weekend. Now, we were lucky enough to have an intern at the march, Alexander, right?
Yes, Alexander. Yeah, he did. He went to Washington this past weekend, and he got some pretty interesting stuff that we're going to share with you all.
We have some interviews with protesters, the chants, and some other great stuff on the ground. Now, this is Alexander's first radio piece with us that he's produced himself, and we're excited to share it with you all. As always, we will be taking calls as they come in through the board at 225-555-WMXN. That's 225-555-9696. Now, Shanna, do you have the tape on deck?
I'm going to go ahead and hit that button right now. All right, here we go.
Women's rights are human rights!
For 98.1 WMXN, this is Alexander Charles Adams. On January 21, 2017, over 500,000 people marched on D.C. for the Women's March on Washington. According to their website, quote, "The Women's March on Washington is a grassroots effort comprised of dozens of independent coordinators at the state level and is helmed by four national co-chairs," end quote. The March on Washington also had over 350 sister marches across the United States with a currently unknown amount of marches globally, but we know of marches happening in London, Melbourne, Paris, Nairobi, Durban, and Mexico City. The march in D.C. attracted people from all over the United States.
Yes, I'm from Livingston Parish, Denham Springs, Louisiana.
My name's Sean. I'm from Long Beach.
I'm from Connecticut.
I am from New York, Long Island.
I'm from South Bend, Indiana.
We're from Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Sure. I'm from New York. Sorry, my voice is a little raspy.
I'm from Spokane, Washington.
I am 26, and I'm from Vero Beach, Florida.
Same.
On the way into central D.C. from our stop in Fairfax, the metro stations and platforms were filled wall-to-wall with women, men, and children with signs and costumes. Once on the train, we met Edie, a woman from Virginia.
So what's your name?
My name's Edie.
Nice to meet you, Edie.
Nice to meet you, too.
Where are you from?
Here in Virginia, in Falls Church.
Awesome. Cool. And are you here for the march?
I am.
Cool deal. Well, what brings you to the march?
The need to stand up for what I believe in, especially at a time when it seems there's an awful lot of noise about everything I don't believe in. So,
yeah.
And headed to my church, New York Avenue Presbyterian, which is helping to provide hospitality for the march.
That's
and keeping folks overnight, including that.
What was your first protest?
Probably the Vietnam War, and more recently the Iraq War.
So,
and I'm going to be getting off at this stop, but
good luck.
Some women on the train expressed fears in relation to the violent protests against the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump that took place the previous day.
My husband's worried about me. I said, if it looks like it's not going to be safe, I'll come home, dear.
We had young woman who was staying with us, who suggested we all write our names and our phone numbers on our backsides in case we end up dead.
And I said, guess what?
You're recording this.
Uh-huh.
I said, guess what?
Not
we're not there yet.
Once off the train at LaFont Plaza, we were greeted by women chanting and spreading out and raising signs.
Would you mind reading out some of the signs that you're seeing?
Okay, hashtag not my president. Women won't back down.
My sign says, I march with nasty women.
Human rights are women's rights, and women's rights are human rights, and it's a Hillary quote.
This is just, like, the polls, statistics showing, like, who showed up for who in this past election, and, I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory,
yeah.
Even, like, the history of, like, this movement, even the feminist movement.
Mm-hmm.
As a black woman, like, our agenda is just different from the white woman's.
Mm-hmm.
We get left out of the movement even with this. So this was just a friendly reminder of who actually needs to start doing work.
As I left the metro, I was guided down the streets of the Capitol by volunteers, with certain streets that were blocked off.
The streets are blocked off by military vehicles, large military trucks. There are also a lot of tow trucks here in case someone decides to just, like, stroll through and park, but I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, so mostly military vehicles, some police vehicles. It's not as heavily guarded as I would assume it would be.
On the march route, speakers and monitors began playing a wide variety of music as protesters displayed more of their signs.
I can't believe I still have to protest this shit.
My sign says, science is not a liberal conspiracy.
My sign says, build bridges, not walls.
It says, our rights are not up for grabs and neither are we.
On the way to the designated Louisiana meet point, I passed the meet points for Rhode Island and Maine.
Say, it's pretty self-explanatory. We must be the change we wish to see. Cool. Rhode Islanders are riding a wave of hope.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
So, do you mind me asking, Maine Women for Social Justice, are you guys like a coalition or a group or an organization? Or are you all
friends.
Just
friends.
Just friends.
Philosophy.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. Shared philosophy.
How long have you all been friends?
Decades.
Long time.
Probably since before you were born.
What was the first protest that each of you went to?
This is it.
Anti-nukes, Earth Days, which were not like this really. They were not really protests as much as
events.
Events.
What year was that when you started protesting?
1973, I think. 72, 73.
Nice.
77, probably.
1974.
If for what?
For Greece, Cyprus.
Nice.
And you?
Women's March. Million Mile March.
Nice. Cool.
That was my first one. Been through a lot. A lot of anti-war. Mm-hmm.
A lot of anti-war?
Yep.
Were you there for the protest of the Vietnam War or?
Nope.
No.
Afghanistan and Iraq.
And it was like random.
I've never been to an event like this though.
No.
This is American history, right? I mean, they all are, but this is a big one.
This is amazing.
This is a big one. Yeah.
Awesome.
And I'm the baby of the group at 26, so this is my first.
This is your
first scale march. First of many.
Yeah.
So what was it like, the process of getting to your first protest? Like, how did you feel about it?
Well, one thing, yesterday we stopped at the Chesapeake Bay Traffic Center, yeah, rest area, and we walked in, and it was just all women, lots of pussy hats, and everyone was talking to each other, comparing notes. It was just a really great experience.
Excellent.
And it started our sisterhood of
and
coming
the
down
subways
the
door. Right now getting in here are just incredible. It's really
packed,
amazing.
Packed.
Fabulous.
And full of pink hats.
Lots of pink hats.
Lots of ears.
That's absolutely fascinating. And it seems we have a call.
We got our first caller here. It's Sahar from BR. It's a great one. Over to you, Lady Gray.
Hi, Sahar. You're live on 98.1 WMXN. What has you calling in today?
I just wanted to talk about the Women's March and how I participated in it.
Oh, so you were at one of the marches.
I was. I was at the New Orleans March last Saturday.
How was that?
It was a lot of fun. It was not only fun, but it was very inspiring and empowering.
Definitely, yeah.
I went with a couple of friends. I had one of my friends made a sign. It said, Make America Kind Again. And that was the message that I really wanted to put out in response to the new administration. And more, I think some women had more specific signs about what their maybe issues or stuff were. But I kind of just had I liked being able to have this general positive sentiment and be able to express it.
So was the march for you anti-Trump or simply pro-woman or both even?
Okay, well, that's complicated. But I think that it was more so pro-women. There were definitely anti-Trump protesters, or anti-Trump people. Mm-hmm. And again, I am one of those people. So it was both, I think. It was definitely both. So it's a little complicated. But I think that because just the very name of it and the spirit of it was more so to send a message.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Shanna is waving me down that we have another caller. Who's on board, Shanna?
Hey, we've got Mr. Lucas here from the great state of Texas. Lucas, you're on the air with Lady Gray.
Hi, Lucas. What do you have for us today?
Hi. I know you're all talking about the Women's March. I kind of feel weird about this, but it's hard for me to actually talk about this to normal people, to my friends and stuff, because most of my friends are, like, staunch Republicans. Like, they're very much super conservative, and they're totally against Women's March. But it's, like, it's hard to, like, even voice my opinion because they get, like, weird statistics and things that I've never heard of just to, like, they come up with stuff just to argue against it. And it's, like, I can't even voice my opinion because they're just, like, they shut me down with all the stuff. They just pressure me just to think the way they do, and they don't actually give into argument.
And where do you think that pressure comes from?
I don't know. Like, I think it's just the fact that they want everyone to be like them. It's like they always want everyone to think the way they do. It's like if you don't, then you're wrong. Like, not only are you wrong, but, like, you are, like, sinning and stuff. Because most of them are, like, staunch, like, Bible Belt Christians. And I mean, I'm a Christian, but, like, I understand that people are going to think differently. And they feel so obligated that everyone must think and feel the same way they do.
Now, would you say that the left, the other side, has a similar mob mentality?
In certain parts, yeah. But most of my, like, liberal and, like, Democrat friends, I guess, are very moderate Democrats. And so they're not as, I guess, like, as, like, belittling and, like, belligerent as my Republican friends. But I don't know. It's, I guess, most of my Republican friends, or at least people that I hang out with or work with, are really, really staunch Republicans. Like, even if they align themselves with the moderate Republicans, they very much have that. The only people I've ever dealt with on the Democrat and liberal side that have been like that are very, very far leftist.
Well, do you think that stems from being in the South? So the Democrats there aren't going to be playing hardball, socially speaking.
That actually makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, actually. I don't know. It's like, I guess being from the South, it's that very much that mob mentality. And I guess they're just, the Democrats in the sense of, I guess it's Democrats in the South are going to try to be more appealing in the sense of, like...
So they're trying to be persuasive.
Yeah, they're trying to be, persuasive. Yeah. And I just think that they're just trying to get by and really just trying to get their ideas heard rather than just trying to make everyone think the way they do. They just want to have an actual argument. That's why I like those kind of friends. I'm an independent, so I don't align myself. I align myself with ideas, not a party. And so it's hard for me to get behind the Republican Party, and that's why I like hanging out and talking about more Democratic arguments.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, Shanna, I think now is a good time to return to Alexander's coverage of the march, don't you?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan, Lady Gray.
The rally for the Women's March began at 10 a.m. on 3rd and 4th on Independence with a, quote, program featuring nationally recognized advocates, artists, entertainers, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. This included actress America Ferrera, professor and feminist icon Angela Davis, feminist writer Gloria Steinem, and Maryam Ali, daughter of late Muhammad Ali. The rally was set to end at 1:15 to begin the march, but the march was delayed until about 2:45. In between speakers, we spoke to women about how they got to the march.
I can't believe it. You know, we were like on the bus. We kept talking about it on the bus. We're like, I cannot believe we're actually doing this. You know? So.
And I came solo and met him on the bus. So. So that's been fun.
It's more than what I expected, but it's awesome. The vibe is just great. You know?
Connectiveness. Like you said, you came by yourself, but yet, I didn't know you, and now here we are talking, and you know, I think we could have this conversation with anyone. There's just such a...
Like souls.
Yeah, like souls and like concerns, so...
Yes.
And this march is supposed to be a friendly march, you know? We're not... I mean, everybody here is so friendly to us. Everybody is friendly, you know?
Yeah, it's been so peaceful and hopeful and... Yeah.
I just believe that the human rights, we all should have equal rights. I want everybody to have the same rights as me, and I want the same rights as everybody.
Rumors that the march would be disbanded circulated on social media. However, the rumors proved to be speculation, and the march went on without issue. Once it began, we interviewed protesters on their motivations and hopes for action.
I'm from London. I'm here for the year, and the reason I'm marching is because I'm an active feminist anyway. This is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, not just for me as an international student, but for most of the people here. Like, they're never going to have the chance to do that again. So I'm so grateful to them. I mean, it's shitty for you guys that Trump is your president, but I'm really grateful to be in the States at such a pivotal point in American history.
It's hard to give just one reason, right? I think the biggest thing for me is I don't want white nationalism in the White House. And that's what's in the White House. And no one's talking about it. So I feel like I have to turn out at least to be able to say, you know, this is not who we are.
Hi, sure. My name is Viviana. I live here in Washington, D.C., from California originally. I'm marching because as a woman of color, Latina, child of immigrants, I'm here to protest and challenge the new administration's normalization of hate, fear, sexism, misogyny, xenophobia, and homophobia.
Sure. From Springfield, Missouri, and I'm marching for love and equality for all. All sorts of reasons. All of it.
And we are from Virginia. So we're in town and we're marching for women's rights and that the president and the world knows that you can't say and treat women the way that Donald Trump does and it's not okay.
I am from the Caribbean originally. I live in Maryland. And I'm here just simply for equality and for freedom, you know, and all of the injustices that, you know, we currently face. So I'm here for minorities. I'm here for women. I'm here for LGBTQ community. I'm here for immigrants. I'm here for everyone who needs someone to stand up for them. And that's why I'm here today.
I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm marching because I think our voice should matter. And I think this is showing the importance of people coming together.
I'm from San Antonio, Texas, and I'm marching because no matter what I do, I want to be treated equally. No matter what field I go into, I want to be treated equally and get paid the same for the work I do.
What would you say is the difference between the protest yesterday and the protest today?
There's a lot more people. Like, honestly, the protest we did yesterday was pretty crazy and it was really awesome. But this one is just absolutely insane. Like, there's so many people and everyone is all on one issue. The one from yesterday was more just anti-Trump. This one is just amazing and there's so many different things being encompassed in it.
We're from Columbus, Ohio, and I'm marching because what's happened with the election is wrong, and I'm marching for my mother, my sister, my friends, for living in a country that I believe is true America, which is what this is about.
And do you mind describing your sign for me?
It says, Pussy Grabs Back, because that's what we got to do.
Thank you for asking where you're from and why you're marching.
I am from New Jersey, and I am marching because of women's issues and because my sister is a victim of sexual assault, and you know who our president is now. So I'm here in protest of that.
Yeah. I'm coming!
During the march, protesters started chants that expressed acceptance for LGBTQ and immigrant peoples, and some chants expressed anti-Trump sentiment.
Say, I think my favorite chant was, oh, we want a leader, not a creepy tweeter. And he does tweet a lot, doesn't he? Kind of like my father. And we go back to the calls. Shanna, who's on deck?
We've got Zoe here from Lake Charles, and she's here to talk about why we still need feminism in the world.
Excellent. Zoe, you're on the air with Lady Gray.
Well, I just think that it's quite clear that women do not have women are not getting paid as much as men for doing the same job. And I also think it's very important that it's a very weird difference that women are not getting paid leave for pregnancy, even though they are deserve it because they are expected to work, even though, like, single-parent mothers are expected to work but also don't get the time to take care of their children. So I think that, like, we need this equality to kind of justify men and women, or also that, like, we still have taxes on tampons and pads when it's not really... It's a necessity, but we're getting taxed like they're luxuries.
So you think it's only economic issues that cause this inequity?
Economics are a very big part of our country, of our culture. But I think that because we have this economic difference, it leads to us to have a social difference. It makes it easier to have the social difference.
Well, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
We have another caller coming in.
Our next caller is Emily, and she is from Mandeville. She's got some interesting points. Take it away, Lady Gray.
Hello, Emily. What you got?
Well, I just heard the person that was talking about being pro-choice, and that's why they attended the march. And one thing that really bothered me is, you know, something that would prevent me from going to, say, that women's march is because I feel like if I had a sign that said I'm pro-life and pro-women or for women's rights, I would be yelled at or shunned or say I'm not welcome there. You know, I hear all these arguments and, like, my response is always like, I hear your arguments, but unless you can prove to me that it's not a human life that's being ended, then, like, you're not going to change my mind.
So where do you stand on things like the gender pay gap or the pink tax?
Oh, that's, like, ridiculous. Like, there's absolutely no reason why there should be a gender gap or taxes on tampons, things like that. Like, that's obviously something that needs to change, but... you know, a lot of statistics, you know, obviously abortion's, like, not a good thing. And I think a lot of pro-choice people would agree that abortion is not a good thing. They're not like, yes, everyone have the abortions because abortions stem out of a crisis or something. Another thing is having an abortion could add to that crisis if they feel guilt. I mean, there's statistics of women that come out of abortions that end up depressed, need counseling, you know, because it's a big deal. And especially with, you know, a lot of people that are pro-life do, like, have the tendency to shun, call them murderers and stuff. Obviously, that makes the guilt worse. But, like, you know, a lot of Christians, you know, definitely, like, I am saying, like, Jesus said to love all people. I mean, Jesus loved prostitutes and said, like, forgave them. Like, you know, we want to help. Like, instead of abortion, or just, like, even if they have an abortion, like, reach out a loving hand and be like, it's okay, I'm here for you. I'll help you through this crisis. Like, I don't want you to feel alone. In me being pro-life, I also consider myself pro-women because I want to help these women through this difficult time they're going through, obviously with an unplanned pregnancy.
All right. Well, Emily, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. I think we have one more call before finishing out Alexander's coverage. Who do we have, Shanna?
We've got Samantha here. She's from Luling, and she's here to respond to our last caller.
All righty. Hi, Sam. You're live on 98.1 WMXN. What would you like to share?
Hi. Well, I understand where Mary, was it?
I think it was Emily.
Well, I understand where she's coming from with this issue. It's difficult because it is such a broad range of issues covered in one giant march. I guess this is kind of more towards the pro-life part. But when you walk for a pro-life march, a lot of times you're not protesting against abortion. More likely than not, you're protesting against government funding for abortion, which is, you know, a misconception. The government does not fund abortions. In addition to that, you're walking to defund Planned Parenthood, which the government does give a small portion to. And when you walk to defund Planned Parenthood, you're walking to defund not abortion, you're walking to defund birth control and pap smears and cancer screenings and other very important things that women depend on for their livelihood.
Would you say the Women's March was a Planned Parenthood march?
You could make that argument, yes. But if you're marching for Planned Parenthood, as I just said, you're marching for pap smears, for birth control, for health necessities for women. You're not marching strictly for abortion. And if those issues... those concepts are not more heavily weighted in your heart than the issue that they very slightly cover of abortion, I think you have a misconception of what's more important than what. That's one issue, and the march was about so much more than that. In fact, if the march was just for Planned Parenthood, abortion would still be a tiny, tiny portion of what the march would be for. So I think that waiting pro-life, waiting your support of unborn lives, as you would call them, over all of those other issues is a shame.
Well, all right. Thank you so much for your call today. Now, we have our last segment from our coverage of the Women's March. Shanna, take it away.
We are the popular vote! We are the popular vote!
We spoke to a number of people from across the globe. For some, extensive travel was not a deterrent. Going to D.C. to take part in the march was something they felt they needed to do.
I wanted Washington to hear our voice. I felt like my vote didn't count, I wanted them to hear our voice.
I don't know, I just felt like I really needed to be here and like have my voice heard here as opposed to just in L.A. Yeah.
Some viewed the march as an experience their children could learn from. I spoke to one mother who brought her toddlers along.
So we actually live in the area.
Okay, amazing.
And we're marching because we're here, we're able to be here, we wanted to show the kids, and just thought it was important to come out and support.
How old are your kids?
Our son is 4 and our daughter will be 2 next month.
Amazing. And what about the Women's March sent the message to you that it was safe for kids?
Well, you know, there were some protests yesterday that got a little violent, but I felt that the energy was going to be different today, and we talked about it, and I actually talked to my mom about it and said, well, I'm not sure if we'll take the kids. And she said, you need to take them because she remembers being upset that her father didn't take her to the March on Washington. And so she said, you know, they need to see it. You should take them. You know, this is history. So that's why we came.
Members of every generation could be found at the march. Baby boomers, Generation X, millennials, you name it, they were there. We caught up with a 17-year-old from Illinois.
Well, I knew I was going to be with my friend who I trust, and I know who has a lot of experience. And I knew that she was going to be watching out for me. And I sort of felt like this march was something that I shouldn't be afraid of, because just like everybody coming together, I just felt like it's not something that I should be scared of, that I should like, I'm angry, and if I want to say something, then I should have the courage to come.
Also from Illinois were two veteran protesters with advice to new protesters.
I'm from Illinois, South Elgin to be specific. Hello to all my friends. I'm marching for my family, my kids, my husband, people with disabilities, all women, all LGBTQ, the environment. What else?
Healthcare.
Oh, the Affordable Care Act. Oh.
So what made you come to D.C. instead of doing a march in Illinois?
Because I wanted to be part of the population, the more than 500,000 people here, to send a message to Donald Trump that he can't screw around with us.
So where are you from?
Same place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we have a
Chicago.
Big crowd from Illinois.
That's amazing.
Oh, huge numbers from Illinois. Yes, many buses.
Is this your first protest?
Oh, God, no. I've been protesting since I was 16 years old, and I protested against the war in Vietnam.
Amazing.
Yeah. I'm a grandma.
So what made you not only protest once, but become like a regular activist?
I think that injustice and oppression just cannot be allowed to rule the day.
You can't stay quiet.
Yeah,
you
must
speak
truth
up.
To power. And it's a cliche, but it's so true. You keep talking, you never be quiet. You never let them shame you or bully you or beat you into silence or submission. You open your mouth and you yell out freedom, justice, equality.
And take money out of politics. That's why we're here.
When the march reached the White House, people affixed their signs to a chain-link fence surrounding the Washington Monument lawn. All trash generated during the march was picked up by volunteers, but the signs were left to hang. As I left the march, I met one final couple.
We are from Europe, from the EU, from Italy, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And what has you in the States? Do you live here now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're here.
Awesome, amazing.
I'm in New Jersey. He's North Carolina.
So we are here for science, for immigrants, for women rights. Well, all the good reason people are here for.
Yeah, awesome. Are you planning, after the election and everything that's happening, to stay in the United States?
We have to, otherwise things won't change.
Excellent.
Well, I hope
so. I think so, yeah. Unless it gets really, really bad. But I'm optimistic. Yeah.
This has been Alexander Charles Adams for 98.1 WMXN.
That was incredibly moving. I mean, that amount of people in D.C., reports over the weekend have said that there were nearly 500,000, if not more, and there were something like 3 million in the U.S. Now, we can't say what the march will do or really lay claim to morals of it, so soon after its occurrence, but this will go down in history for sure. Now, before we go, we have some final callers. Shanna, who do we have?
We've got Grace from Baton Rouge. She kept in touch with the march via social media, and she's got some things to say.
All right, let me hear it, Grace.
I'd like to say that even if people couldn't participate, it was still really important to see for all women, and I think it creates a huge sense of solidarity no matter where you were for it, especially because it crossed national borders as well as state borders. I'm personally really, really proud of my friends that not only drove to New Orleans but flew or drove to Washington. And I think it was a really positive thing representationally for all women.
How did you feel about men participating in the march?
I think it's very appropriate to have allies. I'm sure there were people that did it really well and people that could have improved the way they participated. But I think even if you participated in a way that's maybe not 100% correct or 100% informed, at least you were there. At least it's a step in your personal development on your opinions on what's going on with women.
Did you personally have any male friends that went?
One.
Well, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
I believe we are at our last caller. Shanna?
All right, and we are closing out our call session with Carson from Farmerville, Louisiana. Lady Gray.
Hi, Carson. What does Farmersville have for our listeners today?
Hi. So I went to the Women's March in D.C., and I'm originally from Louisiana, so it was like a 16-hour drive and completely different. But I just wanted to call in and put in my input, I guess. But it was just like completely wild. Like, there were so many people, and I talked to a friend earlier this week, and we all just agreed that it was like the most safe we've ever felt. Like, there have been all these rumors about it being like a riot and all this like violence, but it was just safe. Like, you looked around and everyone was there for the same reason as you. Like, we were all there because we agreed on something, and that was our rights, our existence.
We've had a couple of callers come in today to say that it felt that the march was not so uniform in message, which causes some disagreements. Now, what do you have in response to that?
I think that is very true, but also it's kind of what made it just a thing. Like, I've had people say to me, like, they didn't feel included because they were Muslims or they were pro-life, but I think, and I technically shouldn't have a voice on this because, of course, I have privilege, so to me, everything seems perfect, but, and I understand where they're coming from, but I think it was just being there even opened our eyes, like, as privileged people, to see that there are more problems than just what we think, and all coming together for one thing opens our eyes to more opportunities to come together for each other. Like, I know a lot of people were saying, are all these white women going to be here for the black women, for the Black Lives Matter movement? And I think that opened a lot of eyes for a lot of people. So I think it was good, just in general, that, yes, there were a lot of differences, and yes, there was a lot of exclusion, but that's something to work on for future marches and future protests.
So you think this is going to gain momentum and show up in more ways?
Definitely, definitely. I've already been talking to a few friends about different
upcoming protests and upcoming movements that we want to get started and be a part of. So, yeah, I definitely see it going somewhere and seeing things grow from it.
Now, what was the most memorable moment for you at the march?
I think it was at one point we were all marching and a chant started that was kind of angry, and it kind of like dimmed the mood a little bit. Like, the whole thing had been pretty positive, but then when we got to the Trump Hotel, it kind of got like everyone was really angry and booing. And so me and my friends just started singing Smash Mouth, and a few people around us started singing, and it was like we were surrounded by all this anger, and we were just like goofing off and having fun and still there for our reason. And that was like the best, because we were surrounded by negativity in the world, and we were still able to like smile and goof off and have fun.
That's hilarious and absolutely fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your call today.
Thank you.
Well, you've been listening to 98.1 WMXN, and I think it's now time for us to pass the baton over to the boys in weather. What do you think, Shanna?
Wonderful. Now we're going to head over to Richard with the weather, and he's going to tell us about that slight chance of rain later in the day. Oh, spoiler alert. Over to you, Richard.
The piece you just heard was 98.1 WMXN, produced by Alexander Charles Adams, with Meg Gray reprising her DJ persona, Lady Gray, from her college radio station days, and Lane Farber as her producer, Shanna. By creating a fictitious radio station, myself and others were able to exercise our journalistic muscles in our own dramatic space. All of the intern coverage you heard was sound I captured myself while attending the Women's March on DC. The calls you heard today were real opinions of citizens of Baton Rouge, but spun to be calls into our fictitious radio station. Our callers were, in order, Sahar Khan, Lucas Thompson, Zoe Young, Emily Ruley, Samantha Kennedy, Grace Moody, and Carson Richmond. And I'd also like to thank all of the men, women, and children who responded to me asking them random questions on the streets of D.C. To learn more about the Women's March, visit www.womensmarch.com for details. If you've enjoyed today's piece, subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app and leave us a review on iTunes. You can follow us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram with the handle @SmashCutCast, or through our website at www.smashcutthepodcast.com. We also have a Patreon running if you'd like to support the show at www.patreon.com/smashcutcast. Thank you so much for listening today.
Two guys and a rogue.
I'm one guy.
I'm the other.
And this is the network.